You're listening to the weekly Parsha podcast with Ari Goldwag, recorded with Hashem's never-ending assistance in Ramat Beit Shemesh, Israel, 5785, 2025. This week's Parsha is Parshas Vayechi. It's the final Parsha of Sefer Bereishis, of the book of Genesis. And today is also Aser B'Teves. It's the fast of the 10th of Teves. And it's the day in history when the old city of Jerusalem, the city of Yerushalayim, was surrounded 6 months previous to Tisha B'Av, Beis HaMikdash's destruction. So it's quite appropriate that we read Parshas Vayechi. Vayechi is Yaakov Avinu giving the blessings to Yosef and his sons, and then to all of the 12 tribes. All of Yaakov's sons receive blessings. And he says, I want to reveal to you what's going to be in the Acharis Hayamim, in the end of days, how things will look. And so it's the Tikkun. Beis HaMikdash was destroyed so many years ago, 2,000 years ago, also 2,500 years ago approximately, first Beis HaMikdash. And Yaakov is talking about Geula, he's talking about redemption, and there's a few points in here. There's a lot. I read through almost all the Midrashim on this Parsha this week, looking for the thing that excites me. There are a few little points and some larger points, and I'd like to share them with you. As Yaakov Avinu is about to give the brachos, give the blessings to his sons, Vayikra Yaakov al Bonav, Yaakov calls to his sons, the Pasuk in Chapter Memtes 49, first verse. Yaakov calls his sons, Vayomer he'asfu v'agidu lachem, Eis asher yikro eschem ya'acharis hayomim. As is the way of those who have Ruach HaKodesh, those who have divine inspiration in the Torah, there's a doubling, there's a poetic way of speaking. And he says, gather together and I will tell you that which will occur to you in the end of days. And then in Pasuk Beis, he says, Hikavtsu, another language of gathering together. One is Asifa, one is Hikavtsut. Both of them mean coming together, gathering. Hikavtsu b'shem b'nei Yaakov b'shem Yisrael avichem. Come together and hear, O sons of Yaakov, listen to that which your father Yisrael is going to say to you. Now, what is this gathering? What is the idea of gathering? Before we get to gathering and the double language of the gathering, so the Medrash says, how did he communicate with his sons? Did he have, I say this, B'derech Melitza, did he have a WhatsApp group for the 12 tribes, for his sons, the people of Israel? How did he communicate and say to all of them together? Did he send the messengers? So the Medrash says something very interesting, and I'd like to draw perhaps a parallel to our times, which, as you know, I believe we're very close to the end of days. He comes to B'Shem ibn Yaakov, says the Medrash, Rav Brechia, Zimna Amar L'B'Shem Rav Chia, Zimna Amar L'B'Shem Rabbanan, the Tamon. Rav Brechia said over, sometimes in the name of Rabbi Chia, sometimes in the name of the rabbis, Mikan Shayim Afuzarin. From the fact that Yaakov Avinu says to gather together, we can deduce that they were not in the same location. They were spread out in Egypt. V'yored Malach V'kinson, says the Medrash, a Malach, an angel, went down, came down from heaven, and gathered them together. So, Yaakov Avinu says, gather together. An angel somehow communicates to the brothers that they should all gather. Which is interesting. Tanchuma says that actually it wasn't the Malach, but it was Ruach HaKodesh. It was the Holy Spirit. What is this Holy Spirit? So it could mean one of two things. It could either mean that they heard Hashem's voice whispering in their ear, as it were. But we also find that a Ruach HaKodesh can mean in Tanakh that, for example, with David HaMelech, Shimshon, Esther Amalka, that there was a certain strength, a certain ability, a certain supernatural sense, either a sense or a power that's given to them. So, Bekitzer, Yaakov wants to gather them together. They hear the whispering in the ear. Maybe it's a malach, an angel. Maybe it's Ruach HaKodesh, Hashem whispering in their ears. But in any event, there's a whispering in their ear. And as a result of that, they all come, they all gather together. Now, I was thinking that it says a double language, Heyasvu Hikavtsu, right? What's the double language? And it's Yaakov Avinu gathering together to tell them about the Achres Hayom, about the end of days. And what came for me, the Chiddush that Hashem put in my mind, is that today, as we are in the moments before the Achres Hayomim, and Yaakov Avinu, his death and his burial parallels in many, many ways, as you see from the Midrashim, what's going to happen in the end of days. There's a parallel, there's a coming together of Am Yisrael, right? Kibbutz Galus. There's 7.7 million Jews now in Eretz Yisrael, ever stronger. There's a returning. And before, what inspires the returning? Yaakov Avinu says Hikavtsu Heyasvu. It's not just for the Shvatim, for his actual sons, but it's also Yaakov Avinu is speaking through time to us. And there's a malach that's been waiting since that ma'amad, since that moment when the 12 tribes gathered, Am Yisrael is gathering. And it parallels Ma'ase Avos Min Labanim. And there's an angel that comes to each and every one of us wherever we are and says, come back. Come back to Eretz Yisrael. Gather back together. And sometimes the angel speaks loudly through the nations of the world. Sometimes the angel speaks loudly because we have it, we hear it inside of our heart. Maybe it's a little softer, that voice. It's not as dachuf. But we hear the Ruach HaKodesh speaking inside of us and reminding us and calling us to return, to gather together to Eretz Yisrael. That's my first ha'ara. The second concept that I would like to share with you clearly also has to do with Mashiach, has to do with the Messianic age. All these blessings have to do with the Achres Hayamim. There's a bracha that Yaakov Avinu gives to Binyamin, to Benjamin, his son, the last of the tribes. And let's understand that because he's the last of the tribes, the last one is the Kollel. He's the all-inclusive aspect. He's the one that's born in Eretz Yisrael. The only one of the tribes born in Eretz Yisrael. So he represents Geula. He represents the final redemption. And the bracha that Yaakov gives him is Binyamin Ze'ev Yitraf. Binyamin is like a wolf that goes out, he finds his prey, brings it back. Now, we see that the tribes, some of them were referred to as animals. Yehuda is referred to as an Aryeh. Binyamin is referred to as a Ze'ev. Yehuda is a lion. Binyamin is a wolf. And we also find that there were different nations, Malchias, in a parallel way, as we're going to see in the Medrash, were also referred to as this type of animal. And it's not a coincidence. Each animal in creation has a certain power, represents a certain ability. And so, each nation in the world has a certain power and a certain ability, and each of the tribes has a certain power and ability. Says the Medrash in this context, Yaakov Zivek Shnaim Keneged Shnaim, Umoshe Zivek Shnaim Keneged Shnaim. A few times in the Medrash connects the brachas of Yaakov Avinu with the brachas of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yaakov, right before he passes away, gives blessings. Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of the Torah, right before he passes away, Vizayis HaBrach, he gives out blessings to each of the tribes. Yaakov creates a parallel between two of his sons and two of the Malchias. Right, we have four Malchias, we have four kingdoms that the Jewish people has to live through and vanquish. Yaakov gives a mashal, an analogy to two of his sons that parallels two of those Malchias, two of those kingdoms. And Moshe Rabbeinu also parallels two of the tribes to two of the kingdoms. And as we'll see, each of these four tribes vanquishes, takes the power away from those kingdoms and brings it over to the side of good, brings it over to the side of Am Yisrael. Yehuda keneged Malchus Babel. The first of them is Yehuda. Yehuda corresponds to the kingdom of Babylonia, right? After the Jewish people were, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the first temple. So we were exiled by the king of Babylonia, which was Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Babel, which, by the way, in Hanukkah, we speak about all of them in Maoz Tzor. Zenim shall be Aryeh, Zenim shall be Aryeh. They both, we find in Tanakh, Yehuda is compared to a lion, and Babel is compared to a lion. Zenim shall be Aryeh, Gur Aryeh Yehuda. Yaakov says to Yehuda, you're like a lion cub. Zenim shall be Aryeh, Kadmoito ke Aryeh. In the Pesukim in Daniel, which speak about also an analogy of the four Malchias, the four kingdoms. So Babel is referred to as an Aryeh, as a lion. Biyad mi Malchus Babel nefeles, and listen to this, this is very interesting. In whose hand does the kingdom of Babel fall? Biyad Daniel shubo mishal Yehuda. It falls by the hand of Daniel. We have to understand what this means. Daniel the prophet, he is the one who caused the downfall or took the power away from Babel, Babylonia. He is the one who comes from Yehuda. He's from the tribe of Judah. He's the one who has that power. What does it mean? So the Mefarshim explained in two different explanations. Daniel was somebody who had the power of prayer. According to one version of the Medrash, he says, Daniel Mishal Vazaria, if I'm not mistaken, is that correct? I think so. They had the power of prayer, these great Nevi'im, they were prophets. I'm sorry, I'm mixing it up. Hanani Mishal Vazaria is something else. But I'm pretty sure I saw something about them too. But okay, well, let's leave it with Daniel. That's what the Medrash says here. Daniel, he davened, and through his prayers, he was able to take down the power of Babel. That's one explanation that's brought here in the Radal. The other explanation the Eitz Yosef brings is that, and this is very interesting, as we'll see in the continuation of the Medrash, that Daniel was the second in command. He was given power. He was the advisor to Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel interprets, this is my edition, he doesn't say this, but Daniel interprets the dream. Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, the writing on the wall. He interprets the dream and he's the one who tells him your kingdom is about to fall, which is what happens. But that's a parenthetical point. But the main point is that Daniel is, as the second in command, he's the one who wields the power. He's the advisor to the king. This is very interesting. The one who is advisor to the king wields the power. Think of Yosef. Paro says to Yosef, no one will be higher than you. You're going to be the second in command. I'll be higher than you. But really, who was the one with all the power? It was Yosef. Same thing with Daniel. So he's the one who takes away the power of Babel. Binyamin keneged Malchus Madai, says the Medrash. Benjamin corresponds to the next Malchus. Malchus of Madai. Madai was Achashverosh. Zenim shel Bezev, Zonim shel Bezev. We find, as we said, Benjamin was compared to a wolf, and so too the Malchus, the kingdom of Modai, was also compared to a wolf. Zenim shel Bezev, Binyamin Zev Yitrof, like we saw. Benjamin is like a wolf that goes out for its prey. Zonim shel Bezev, Va'aruch Heva Achri Tinyana Dami L'Doiv. So the Pasuk refers to this Malchus, to this kingdom of Modai, and it says that it's comparable to a doiv. Now, normally the word dove means a bear. The measure said, "B'chinin amr l'dav k'siv." Doesn't say dove with a vav in the middle, which would therefore be read as dove. It says it without a vav in the middle, so it could be read as dave. Da'av is Aramaic for ze'av. Dave ha'yashma. He died to Rabbi Yechonon. Rabbi Yechonon al kain hikom ari miyar ze bavel ze'av haravas kishad adam zomodai. Rabbi Yechonon also says, based on the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, chapter 5, verse 6, that Bavel is referred to, I'm sorry, Modai is referred to, Bavel is the Aryeh, is the lion, and Modai is a reference, is referred to as Ze'ev, as a wolf. So what happens? Behind me, Malchus Modai Nefeles, behind Mordechai, Shubah Misham Binyamin. And whose power, who has the power over Modai, who causes it to fall? Mordechai. How? So according to the Radal, through his prayers, he destroys Haman. He causes the downfall of Haman, who's the main advisor of Modai, who's taken over the power, perhaps, of Modai. That's the idea of Amalek. He takes over the power. According to the Eis Yosef, Mordechai is the new advisor to the king of Achashverosh. He takes the power. He's the second in command, just like Yosef was. Like we said before, that's what Daniel was. Mordechai is the advisor to the king. He's the one who has the real power. He directs the king's mind. The Jews take over, so to speak, the power of Madai. Ultimately, Esther's son, Daryavesh, is the one who says to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash. So that's the second one. The third one, and this comes to Moshe Rabbeinu's brachas. Levi Kenegan Malchus Yavan. This is very interesting. We wouldn't usually think about this. But Levi is the one who has power over the Greek Empire. What's the parallel? Interestingly, this one does not involve an animal. Zesh Shevet Shlishi. Zom Malchus Shlishi. The third of the tribes, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Levi is the third of the tribes. And the Greeks, Yavon, are the third of the Malchias, the third of the kingdoms that has power over the Jewish people. So there's a parallel that they're both third. Zeis Yaisa Meshulashin. Zeis Yaisa Meshulashin. This one has three letters. Levi is Lamed Vav Yud. Interestingly, two of those letters are the same as the name for the Greeks, Yavon. The Yud and the Vav of Yavon is the same letters. But Yavon is also three letters, Yud, Vav, Nun. And I'll add, it doesn't say this in the Medrash, but generally speaking, the concept of three, the third, Ad Sheyavah, Kosev, Ashlishi, V'Achriyeh, B'Neim, it's also true in Kabbalah, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, the third is the one in the middle. It's the balance. You have two extremes, Chesed and Gvura, and in the middle you have Tiferes. You have two psukim, one saying one thing, one saying a different thing. The third verse comes and tells us which is the correct way to go. It comes in the middle and it defines. So Levi is the one in the middle. The Greeks have a certain aspect of Babel, a certain aspect of Madai, perhaps we could say. They're in the middle. They're the third aspect. So they correspond. Elu taike karnaim, elu taike sulfirim. The Levium, the Levites. So there's a certain, they blow the shofar in the Beis HaMikdash. The Yavan and the Greeks also would blow their horns in order to go out in battle. Elu leshe kaivayim, elu leshe kisim. The Levium, when they served in the Beis HaMikdash, they wore special hats, mitznefes. The Greeks, when they go out to battle, they would wear a helmet, show their power, protect themselves against their enemies. Interestingly, of course, that means, or that implies, that the Levim with their hats, they're protecting Am Yisrael from spiritual enemies. According to one Gersa. Pamelania, sorry. These wear the special pants that are the Bigdei Kahuna. The Greeks also had a certain kind of pants that they wore that was special for them. Interestingly, the Greeks were the many, right? And the Levium, really it's referring to the Kohanim, the priests who come from the tribe of Levi, who were the ones who fought against the Greeks, the Chashmonaim, we just experienced again in Hanukkah. The Greeks were many. The Levim were few. Be'ezeschus. So what was the merit that allowed these Levim, these Kohanim, to be able to conquer and destroy the Greeks, the evil Greeks? They have the power to destroy their enemies. Who's the one who conquered and took away the power from the Greeks? It was the Chashmonaim, the Kohanim, the priests, the Maccabim. They were the ones who come from Levi, from the Levites. They had that power to take down that Malchus. And what's the final Malchus? And who takes down that final Malchus? And it's interesting because it leaves out Mashiach ben David. He takes out Yishmael. That's a different discussion, but let's see what it says here. Yosef geneged Malchus Edom. Yosef corresponded. Yosef is the one who has the power over the kingdom of Edom. Zebal Karnaim is Zebal Karnaim. Each of them is described as an animal with horns. Zebal Karnaim Bechor Shari Hadalai. Yosef is referred to by Moshe Rabbeinu as the Bechor Shari, the firstborn, the one who is the ox. Zebal Karnaim, Edom, the final Malchus that we're in today, the West, is referred to in the Psukim in Daniel, Al Karnaya Asar Dibereisha. It had 10 horns. And there are also other aspects. Zelu Maseh, Zeh Perishman, Erva Zeh Nidbak Be'erva. Yosef was able to overcome a great challenge in the area of being with another man's wife. Esav, on the other hand, was Paritz in this area. He did this Avera, he did this sin. Zeh Chas Al Kavod Aviv, Zeh Biza Al Kavod Aviv. Yosef, he cared, he kept asking about his father, he showed great honor for his father. Esav, on the other hand, said, when will my father die so that I can kill my brother? It says about Yosef, he feared Hashem. It says about Amalek, who's the main seed, the main offspring of Esav, that they don't fear Hashem. In whose hand, ultimately, will the power of Esav be extinguished, will be destroyed, or will be in the hands of Mashiach ben Yosef? We have a tradition that Esav will fall in the hands of the children of Rachel. It's a reference to Yosef. The youngest of the sheep, which is a reference to the youngest tribes, which is Binyamin and Yosef. Those are the tribes that has the power to destroy Esav. And I'll add, based on what we said earlier in the Medrash, that it doesn't necessarily have to mean an absolute destruction. It can also mean, just as Mordechai was second to Achashverosh, but he had the power, he was the advisor. Daniel was second to Nebuchadnezzar, he had the power, he was the advisor. So too, it could be that the people of the Jewish people, look what's going on in the world today. It could be that this is what we're looking at right now. Who is leading the world in a fight that they don't even recognize the danger of with Iran, Paras today? Am Yisrael today is leading in that battle against the forces of evil. In a certain way, we are second to the nations of the world. We're dependent on them in a certain way, but at the same time, we're leading. So, it's worth thinking about. And that's the second medrash that I wanted to review. And we see there's an incredible power. There's an incredible power that Yaakov and his blessings gave for all time, down to today. All the way from that time till today. And that power exists. That power existed through history, through all of the kingdoms, through all of the challenges that Am Yisrael went through. We always came out on the other end successful. With what power? The power of the blessings of Yaakov, with the power of the blessings of Moshe Rabbeinu. And finally, I'd like to share with you the last piece in the Medrash on this week's Parsha, which ends off speaking about what's going to be in the future with the advent of Mashiach. Yaakov Avinu dies, and they make for him, they bring him to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, and there's a 7-day Avelus. There's a 7-day mourning period. Now, where does this 7 days come from? At the end of somebody's life. It corresponds, everything in the world, just as we saw with the kingdoms, there's a power of evil and there's a power of good. There's a power of death and there's a power of life. There are 7 days when a person gets married, and the main goal of marriage is to procreate, to bring about the next generation. Marriage starts with a 7-day holiday for the chasan and kala, for the bride and the groom. The beginning of life, there's 7 days of celebration. Of course, they celebrate for the rest of their lives as they build a family. There's a 7-day initial celebration. Zele umazeh, corresponding to that, there's 7 days of sadness to recognize when a person passes away. The measure says an amazing thing. There were 7 days that everybody, even the Egyptians, were involved in the Avelus, the mourning period for the 7-day mourning period for Yaakov Avinu's death. There's going to be an incredible 7 days of ecstatic joy for the entire world. Hashem is going to pay back because of those 7 days of sadness that were given and recognized for Yaakov Avinu. The Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu that everything is going to turn around. For all the sadness, all of the exile, all the gullus, all of the destruction, all, think about it, look back, just 75 years ago, Am Yisrael went, I mentioned this in the Bitachon podcast, I just read a book from Rabbi Emanuel Feldman about the 6-day war. Incredible joy. But immediately before that incredible joy was a terrible time. The World War II. Am Yisrael was decimated. But immediately after that, there was a turnaround for Am Yisrael. Coming back to Eretz Yisrael, getting back the entire land of Israel 20 years later, 19 years later. Hashem turns around the evil, the mourning, into joy. Just like I'm going to give you a consolation. I'm going to give a consolation to Tzion, to Jerusalem, and all of the places that were destroyed. Like the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, when Hashem consoles Zion, Hashem is going to console all of the destroyed locations. He's going to change the wilderness. All of the deserts are going to be turned into a place of growth. It's going to become a place of the garden of Hashem. It's going to be an incredible joy that's going to go on. And Dave Tzitzis says, She'ikar anachama b'yeshivas ha'aretz ha'kadosha. The main consolation, what are we waiting for? And what are we trying to listen and hear the voice of Hashem, as Hashem says, Hikabtsu v'shimu, come together and hear. Come together and hear. What's it going to be like in the end of days? It's going to be this. Come and resettle Eretz Yisrael. What's special about Eretz Yisrael? It's the place where when you learn Torah, there's no greater place to learn Torah. The Torah of Eretz Yisrael is the strongest. You can't get that anywhere else. It's a place of incredible feelings of gratitude. It's a place, and this is the ultimate, this is what we're waiting for. This is the joy. There's going to be an incredible joy as we greet Mashiach. We're already starting to experience it. We're already starting to touch it. We're already starting to taste it. I want to bless you and I ask you to bless me. Hashem should help us. That we should hear that voice. We should hear the Malachim. We should hear the Ruach HaKodesh calling us back to Eretz Yisrael. We should recognize that stuff's going on here. There's a power that's returning to Am Yisrael. We should be able to see it. Hashem should help us to get back here and experience the ultimate joy, the ultimate sasan v'simcha of the Torah of Eretz Yisrael. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos.
This podcast was made possible through the gracious donations of listeners like you. For more podcasts like this, please visit www.arigoldwag.com or search on iTunes, Ari Goldwag.